And let me just say this to you before I preach today. I love you folks. I thank God for our church and for what God's doing in this fellowship. Do you sense that God's up to something? I mean, I come here, you know, and I'm thinking, Lord, what you going to do next? It's just good to know that God's up to something. And, you know, we preached on prophecy last week, but for 400 years, there was complete silence. I mean, no one had heard anything, and all of a sudden, we're going to study today of God's Christmas gift of love. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2, and I mentioned John because I want us to quote John 3:16 as soon as you turn there. So find your place in Luke chapter 2, and let's all stand once you find your place, and we'll quote John 3:16 together. God's Christmas gift of love. Everybody got your place, Luke 2, but I think we all know John 3:16, so let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I knew y'all could do that without your even reading it. There was a dear friend of mine that told me years ago, he said, if you got that verse right, you'll get the rest of them right. Amen. That's the one that counts. All right, Luke chapter 2. Let's study these verses today. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray again. Father, I pray for your anointing to be on this service. And I pray that we would not allow anyone or anything to distract us. We'll give you our undivided attention. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Now, I'm preaching a series on the gifts of Christmas. Do you know that our God is a giving God? I mean, hey, the very breath you're breathing right now is a gift from God. Amen. Hey, your life is a gift from God. Amen. I'm sure we all have got all kinds of Christmas stories, and I don't know why this always hits me. Our son Jonathan, he was only maybe 4 or 5. For some reason, I was in a store to pick up something for Christmas, and so he got away from me for just a second, and there was this display. It was over in the sports department of weights, and some lady hollered out and said, "How can that little boy be lifting all that weight?" And my son had picked up this bell bar and with weights on it and had them over his head. He's 5 years old, and I'm looking at him. And everybody else is looking at him, and I'm asking the same thing. Son, how are you lifting that? He said, Dad, I'm strong. I said, but how can you lift that? And I didn't understand it either. So I go over and lift it, and it was just a display. It didn't have any weights in it. It was just plastic. But it was actually what you purchased. It just didn't have the weights in it. And, you know, wrapping paper can be like that. You know, us men, we're wondering, why do you wrap something up really nice just to have it all torn all to pieces? I mean, most men like the idea of the bag. You know, men came up with the idea of the Christmas bag. Just bag it and give it to them. That's it. Who wants to spend all that time wrapping something? Ladies, that's who. Well, guess what? God wrapped us up a gift. But he didn't use any wrapping paper. He used something much more significant. We're going to deal with that today. We continue to celebrate this idea of Advent because it represents the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by lighting the candle today, the Bethlehem candle, which is known as the candle of love. You see, Christmas is all about good news, but it's not the good news of wrappings or special gifts. It's not the good news of a big Christmas meal. It's not the good news of spending time with friends and family. Christmas is about the good news of God's love. Rick and Barbara have got it right. It's all about the story of love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says all of us are lost without God. We're directionless. We're without protection from God. Our potential eternal impact upon the world is unrealized. We're without real joy. Our eternity in heaven isn't secure. Without God, we are helpless and hopeless. And we need to understand today, had it not been for this baby born in Bethlehem, we'd all be sunk today. There'd be no hope. There'd be no healing. There'd be no salvation. Love entered the human race in a unique way through the birth of this baby called Jesus. The Apostle John, listen to it carefully. 1 John 4:9. This is how God manifested his love toward us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Now, love always has an object. And if I say I'm in love, you naturally are going to wonder, who is it with? I'll go ahead and tell you, Sherry. All right. But anyway, I cannot love without there being a recipient. Someone has to receive my love. Well, if God is in love, who is he in love with? Who is he born for? You. Love was all directed toward you. Love was born at Christmas for you. You, with all your sins and all your issues and with all your problems, all your strengths, all your weaknesses, Jesus was born for you. That's what the angel declared when he announced to the shepherds and said in Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." If you are a Christian this morning, I want you to do me a favor. Let's just illustrate something. So if you're a Christian this morning, I want you to hold out your hands like you're going to hold a baby. Can you do that for a moment? If you're a Christian, hold out your arms like you're about to hold a baby. And I want you to receive God's gift of love. You know, I was over here the other Sunday, and I just praised the Lord for how someone else was worshiping. I don't remember who this person was, but this is how they worshiped the whole time. Do you know God is a giving God, and he wants to give you his love, but you got to receive it. Amen? How precious is it to hold a baby? I feel very uncomfortable holding babies. I do. But I know you got to support their head, right, ladies? And you got to be careful because, you know, they do break. So you got to be careful with a baby. However, I have been in the hospitals and see how they handle babies, and the nurses throw them all around the place. But here's what I want you to see this gift. You still got your arms out? All right, as Christians, God is saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I proved my love to you. For I loved you so much, I gave my son to you. Now, are your arms out? Then receive his love. How would you feel, honestly? How would you feel if someone went to all the trouble to wrap this gift up for you? I mean, wrapped it up perfectly, and I mean, did it just right for you, and presents this gift to you, and you say, I don't want no gift. And you know, that's how we are oftentimes. We shut ourselves up. I don't want God's love. I don't want God in my life. I want to be my own man. Look, if you're like this, you're one miserable man. But if you will reach out and receive God's love gift to you and take it into your life, I'm going to tell you, love makes all the difference. So thank you for doing that with me for a moment. Number one, this gift was wrapped in swaddling clothes. You see it in verse 7. And that is one of the most significant things I can teach you today. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. And she brought forth her firstborn son, I'm reading verse 7, and wrapped him, not in Christmas wrappings, but in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Notice this, because there was no room for him in the inn. Isn't it interesting when Jesus was born, there was no room for him? Do you know for a lot of people there's no room for him today? We get so busy in the hustle and bustle of trying to celebrate Christmas, we leave Christ out. It's his birthday, and we give each other the gifts. And I mean, we give expensive gifts. We pass the offering plate and we say, well, I believe I'll be stingy. Oh, we don't say that, but we do that. I think the gift that counts is the gift you give to God. Amen? Amen. You say, well, does it have to be money? No, it shouldn't be money. It should be your life. Amen. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus died that you might have life. Amen? Amen. Why was he wrapped in swaddling clothes? The significance of Jesus being wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, first of all, was a sign. Now, it was prophesied over 500 years before it happened, But it was a sign to the shepherds and the priests. Luke 2:12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The shepherds and the priests understood the significance of being wrapped in swaddling clothes. The shepherds would wrap the newborn lambs in swaddling clothes to protect the body of the lambs, which would be offered as a sacrifice in the temple just 4 miles away from Bethlehem. Wrapped in swaddling clothes to keep the new lambs. Listen to this. This is the most significant thing I probably got to say today. Wrapped in swaddling clothes to keep the lambs from spot or blemish. They would be laid in a manger until they had calmed down. In other words, the point being was that the shepherds, the priests, understood how special that lamb was to be in that offering to God as a sacrifice. And how special was this lamb? For he was without blemish. He was without spot. And why is that so important? Because he's the only one who could die for your sin. So when you read about swaddling clothes, what are swaddling clothes? Strips of cloth. Strips of cloth. In one sense, you could say that Jesus was wrapped in burial clothes. You could say that. I think about what the cloth was around him. And I think about what was his wrapping when God presented his son to the world. It was prophesied. Micah prophesied this 700 years before his birth. It said that the Son of God would be born in a little insignificant village called near Jerusalem called Bethlehem. Not in Nazareth, where he was raised. Not in Capernaum, where he would conduct his ministry. Not even in Jerusalem, where he was crucified, buried, and resurrected. But in Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? Bethlehem. I studied the word. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. It's interesting, the one who said, I am the bread of life, was born in the house of bread. I mean, Jesus came to bring life to man. He is the bread of life. He is the only way to be right with a holy God. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a manger in Bethlehem. Love motivated the gift of the Father. Say that with me. Love motivated the gift of the Father. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That goes up on number one, guys. Y'all with me? Who's ever back there? Love motivated the gift of the Father. That's important that you remember that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Loving humanity was the only risk that God ever took. Because God has given humanity a free will, it is only natural that there be the possibility that God's love might not be returned. However, it was God's love for humanity that motivated him to reach out to us. Someone wrote the following. Listen to this. A house is a house is a house until love comes through the door. That is, by the way, you can have a fancy house and not have a home. Amen. Until love comes through the door. And love intuitively goes around sprinkling that special brand of angel dust that transforms a house to a very special home for very special people, your family. Money, of course, can buy a charming house, but only love can furnish it with a feeling of home. Duty can pack in an adequate sack lunch, but love must decide to tuck a little love note inside. Money can provide a television set, but the guff that comes with it, obligations sends the children to bed on time, but love tucks the covers in around their necks and passes out kisses and hugs, even to teenagers. Obligation can cook a meal, but love embellishes the table with a potted ivory trailing around slender candles. Duty writes many letters, but love tucks a joke or a picture or a fresh stick of gum inside. Compulsion keeps a sparkling house, but love and prayer stand a better chance of producing a happy family. Duty gets offended quickly if it isn't appreciated, but love learns to laugh a lot and to work for the sheer joy of doing it. Obligation can pour a glass of milk, but quite often love will add a little chocolate. God did not provide for our redemption out of obligation to his creation. He provided through the person Jesus Christ, his son, our Savior, to be our closest friend. That was written by Scott and Laura, Tyndall Publishing. I was going to tell you about Scott and Laura right quick. Wiggs, have you met them? They're in our church. Scott, Where are they at? Scott? Did I get it wrong? Addison is the one I'm after. Addison came up to me the other week. She asked me a profound question. She's a smart little girl, didn't she? She really is. She asked me a question. It sort of took me off. They had sponsored the seniors. We carried them out to eat after church one Sunday and went to see the Festival of the Trees with the seniors. I thought it was real sweet, these C3s doing this for these seniors. And this little girl comes to me and she says, Pastor Ron, I got a question for you. I want to ask you something. What do you think of God? That's profound. You're laughing, but what do you think of God? Amen. So my answer to little Addison was this, that he would love me. That's what I think of God. Charles Spurgeon said that the greatest verse in the Bible is John 3:16. That God would love us. Love us even while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Oh, what love. Love motivated the gift of the Father. Love motivated the gift of the forgiven. John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The gift of forgiveness was given to us through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love this verse, Psalm 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would send us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness, and God sent us a Savior. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen? Somebody ought to have a spell. Love motivated that gift. That we might be the forgiven. And then third of all, love motivated the gift, I like to say this, that lasts forever. Amen. You know what? You can't buy love, church. Amen. We go out here and we buy all these expensive gifts. I tell you, I'm about blown away. My granddaughter wants a Hatchimal. I don't even know what a Hatchimal is. Am I saying it right? A Hatchimal. Do you know what? You can't find a Hatchimal nowhere. They out of them Hatchimals. I'd rather just get her a real beady if she wants to see. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's hatching something, right? It's an egg that hatches another. I don't know what it is. But you know what? I love my granddaughter. I tried to find her a hatchimal. How do you say hatchimal? Hatchimal. Yeah, whatever it's called. I don't know nothing about it. But you know what? You'll do a lot of things because of love. Now look up here, church. Everybody look at me. Let me have your eyes for just a minute. The greatest gift you can give your children is for daddy to love mommy and mommy to love daddy. Said that last week. I believe I'll say it again. Folks, what children need is not more stuff. Hello? But they do need more love. Am I right? I'm not just preaching today. I'm telling you, your children seeing mom and daddy at church today says volumes. Your children seeing you excited about Jesus says volumes. You say, well, and by the way, my kids grew up, I can say this, and they knew who I was. They watched me at home. And I give God the glory because I heard a radio preacher say this one time, if your kids turn out good, it's by the grace of God. But my kids, I never had to make them go to church. I never even asked them. You say, I guess they just assume that you're the preacher. We're going to go. I don't know. But I will say this. They're still in church today, and they're grown adults. I'm going to tell you how that works. You give them something that lasts, and love lasts. Hello? Are y'all with me? Love really does last. He says, but have everlasting life. Love never fails, but whether they be preaching, it will fail. Whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The Bible says, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Love came down at Christmas, and man had never experienced the kind of love that Jesus had. Pure, perfect, powerful love. If his love has come into our hearts, then we have a love worth sharing. And we ought to tell everybody we love each other. Amen. Folks, we're not God's church. If we can't love each other, amen. We're not of God if we can't love one another. Amen. You say, well, I don't like J.W. Well, you better get to love him then. Amen. I'm picking on him because he's looking good over there. We just need to love each other. You say, well, I don't always agree with you. Well, you don't have to, but you better love me.
Amen.
You can't be right with God and be wrong with your brother and sister in Christ.
Amen.
Folks, it's important. Why? Because, you see, that's the reason Jesus came, to reconcile man to God.
Yeah.
The Bible says we were at enmity. There was enmity. We were the enemies of God. Jesus came that we might be reconciled and be made right. And it's a love that will last for all eternity. Amen. That excites me. He wrapped his gift up in swaddling clothes because he loved us so much that he knew the purpose of the birth of his son was to go to the cross and pay a debt we could not afford to pay. We'll spend our last dime trying to impress our husbands or our wives or our families that we love them. Just love them, because you can't buy love.
Amen.
You can't do it. And God loves you. And you couldn't put a price on it. You can't work for your salvation. For by grace you're saved through faith. I'm going to have a spell. Second of all, wrapped in a sure covenant. This is powerful. Wrapped in a sure covenant. We read this right here in Luke chapter 2. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. Now, church, we need to hear this real quick. A covenant is most important. It's not just a mutual agreement between two people. It's not just a legal contract. Yes, I'm thinking about marriage. It was a binding agreement, and this is what marriage should be, a binding agreement where the parties involved commit themselves to each other and the terms of the covenant until death do you part. That is a covenant. And you make a covenant with God, and you make a covenant to your wife and your husband. And I'll tell you, someone who's been married as many years as some of you folks have is a great testimony. Because you know what? They would say to you today, it's by the grace of God that we are who we are. That we've been married 67 years or 50 years or how many ever years you've been married. I'm going to tell you, love will last forever when you got the real kind of love. Amen. Now, think about this. This covenant business. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31:33, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, God's part of the promise was that he would fulfill the covenant and redeem his people by bringing his Messiah into the world. And this Messiah would bring God's people back to him and give them a new heart. And so I want to talk about that for a minute. The Jewish covenant. You say, what's that got to do with me? Oh, it has a lot to do with this church right now. By the way, God said, I will bless the nation who blesses my nation. I will bless those who bless you. Israel is God's nation. They are still God's chosen people. Wake up out there. Listen to me. God will bless the nation who supports Israel, who stands behind them. But there's something more I want to say about the Jewish people. Jesus was a Jew.
Yeah, amen.
People that have a problem with race might want to be reminded that Jesus was not a white man.
Amen.
He was a Jew.
Amen.
We don't have a skin problem in America.
Amen.
We have a sin problem.
Amen.
It's much deeper than the color of one's skin. Let me tell you something, folks. If you can't accept a person because of the color of their skin, it tells me something about you. You can't accept Jesus.
Amen.
Because Jesus had no respect of persons.
That's right.
And Jesus was a Jew.
Amen.
Which means white folks. He didn't look like us.
Amen.
And just because someone don't look like you don't mean you don't receive them.
Right.
You know, I'm proud of Gord Spreets. Proud of you. Our church is more diverse than ever. There's white people, there's black people, there's Asians, Indian. Whoa! Glory to God!
Amen!
Some of you don't get excited about that. But God gets excited because God created every one of us in his image. And the Jew was special. Jesus was a Jew. I need to preach that to me as much as anybody. You know why? I'm going to be honest with you. I grew up in a prejudiced neighborhood. I did. And I was taught, if they don't look like you, don't have nothing to do with them. Oh, that's not what the Bible teaches. Prejudice is sin. Amen. We don't have a skin problem, we have a sin problem. Oh, I got to go on. There was the Jewish covenant, but also, hang in with me, I don't mean to offend nobody today, but, wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. I got to say this about the Jewish covenant before I move on. This was the most important thing. It was about the Messiah. You see, what was going on here in the Jewish covenant, Abraham offered up Isaac on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice to God. Now, there was a ram found in the thicket. But this was a picture of Jesus being offered as the supreme sacrifice. So it's a follow-through with that Abraham's covenant, with the Jewish covenant. The word Messiah means the promised deliverer of the Jewish nation, prophesied in the Hebrew Bible. It means anointed one or chosen one. In the Greek, it equivalent to the word Christos is the word Christ. And the name Jesus Christ is the same as Jesus the Messiah. In biblical times, anointing someone with oil was a sign that God was consecrating or setting them apart, that person for a particular purpose. And thus, the anointed one was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who would come from the tribe of Judah as the prophets had prophesied. And I love this verse in Luke 1:55. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever, because this seed would last forever. Talking about Jesus Christ, born of the lineage of David. You see, here's Joseph in play here. Not only Mary, but we see a Jewish covenant. And I want to talk about the Joseph covenant. You've never heard of that because I just came up with it. But the Joseph, now listen to this. Joseph believed God. He accepted God's word as true, and he took Mary as his wife. Listen to this one. This is why I call it a covenant. Why is a covenant so important? Not only is it a commitment that God has made to us that he will keep his word, but when God says something, this is what I'm trying to teach you, you can count on it. You can believe it. I'm telling you, it will last forever. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It will never return void. Listen to this scripture, Matthew 1:19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to the son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now listen to the shalls. And she shall, when God says something, it shall happen. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. By the way, Joseph was the one who had that responsibility. And he kept what God told him to do. And they called his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. I'm telling you something. Joseph did have an important part to play. Instead of making an example out of his wife, like she had been unfaithful to him, I'm telling you what, he believed God, and he believed what the angel told him, and he did marry Mary. He married her because God told him to. And then the Jesus covenant, Jeremiah 31, 32, 33. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 19:12. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sin committed under the first covenant. The Christian view of the new covenant is a new relationship between God and humans mediated by Jesus, which includes all people, Jews, Gentiles, all people. Jesus died for the world, for God so loved the world, he gave. And then last, and I'm through, it was wrapped in a cross. He was wrapped in a saving cross. You know, a lot of people wear a cross around their neck, and there's a lot of crosses out there. But I want to close this service today talking about God's gift of love by preaching on the cross. Wrapped in a saving cross. I want to talk about the incarnation. Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. I love this verse, John 1:14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, that, and we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, you want to talk about God's wrapping. Listen to me carefully. I'm almost done. Don't go to sleep on me. If I see you sleeping, I'm going to throw a hymn book at you. Now, folks, look. Incarnation. God did wrap himself up in human flesh. Amen. Incarnation means that God became one of us so that we could become one of his. Amen. He became one of us. We couldn't go to a holy God because we've sinned. Man has fallen. We have a fallen nature. We have a sinful nature. But God came to us and he wrapped himself up in skin. Sort of like the little girl was crying out to her daddy for a glass of water and said, Daddy, would you get me a glass of water? He said, Honey, I've already got you something to drink. Now you go to sleep. A little bit later, she said, Daddy, would you please get up and get me a glass of water? Said, Honey, you have nothing to be worried about. I know you're scared. I love you. God loves you. You just know that Jesus is taking care of you. Now go to sleep. Finally, she said, Daddy, I need some skin. Would you come over and give me a hug? I'm telling you, that's what God did. God loved you so much. Are you following me? God loved you so much. He didn't just say, I love you. He came and put some skin on. And why was that so important? So that he could pay the sin debt that you owe and I owe. And another thing, listen to this. This incarnation business is a big deal. I love this scripture. It says that he became one of us, and he was touched in every area as we are. I'm telling you something. He knew what it was like to hurt. He knew what it was like to go through hardship. This is the most significant thing I think I can share. He became one of us. And it is the gift, not the love, that saves us. Now, God loves us. But it's not the love. It's the gift that saves us. The gift is Jesus. Amen. Oswald Chambers, I read his devotion for many, many years, Utmost for His Highest. He wrote this, in the cross, we may see the dimensions of divine love. The cross is not the cross of a man, but the exhibition of the heart of God. At the back of the wall of the world stands God with his arms outstretched. And every man driven there is driven into the arms of God. The cross of Jesus is the supreme evidence of the love of God. Someone asked, God, how much do you love me? And Jesus said this much, and he died. You see, love was born as a human baby. Love was born for every one of us. Come and see, then go and tell what love means to you. If you love him, you can't help but tell others about him. And then Emmanuel. Now, it's funny. In the Old Testament, the word is spelt with an I. In the New Testament, it is spelt with an E. But Emmanuel, God is with us. And God is for us. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. No longer do you see God as far away out there and beyond the universes. No longer do we see God as untouchable. No longer do we see God far away, but now God is right here with us today. Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then the last word, and you know this word, innocent. He was without sin so he could pay for our sin. Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also the holy thing, which shall be born of you, shall be called the Son of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Would you like now to be wrapped in a sure conversion? God has given his gift for you. His arms are stretched out to you today. Will you open your gift? Will you acknowledge that you need it? How can you open God's gift? How can you receive God's love into your life? Well, God's love is unwrapped by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's how you do it. I wonder if there are those today, maybe like Kim, who was baptized today. She thought she was a Christian. She went through the judgment house, saw the drama about change, and she said that change has never taken place. And that's what conversion is. And so would you like to be wrapped in a sure conversion today? After the angels told the shepherds about Jesus, and they believed, the shepherds believed in what they said, they showed their belief by their actions, by going to see and telling others. I'm afraid that just like there was no room for Jesus in that day, they said that there was no room in the inn, there's no room in a lot of people's hearts today. Oh, we want to know about God, but do we know Him intimately? You see, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, every head bowed, every eyes closed. Jesus is the one and only true Messiah. He's the only one who can deliver you and set you free. Right now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've never asked Jesus to come to your heart, would you pray this simple prayer and make it your prayer? Just right now from your heart, say this to God. Say it silently. God will hear your prayer. Say, dear God, I'm a sinner. And I'm not sure if I know you're not. But today I want to make sure. I ask you, Lord Jesus, right now, to forgive me of all my sins, to come into my heart and save my soul. And from this day on, I ask for a sure conversion. I receive your gift of love. In Jesus' name, amen.